Chapter 22. Anubis. As she sailed through space, Callie caught a glimpse of the figures below, dozens of figures below, reaching up for her. Her focus snapped back to the roof rack. Her momentum bled away. She started to descend, and she landed perfectly on top of the buggy. Her boots slid forward, and she threw her weight back, arms wide.
"Holy fuck," said Jake. "The judges go wild and award some of their highest scores yet."
Callie stood statue still, took another breath, assured herself she wasn't going to tumble over the railing and into the horde below. She turned and gave Jake a thumbs up.
"Nothing to it."
"Ha."
He turned and lumbered back a few meters.
"Ready for me?"
She looked down behind her and braced one boot against the pile of packs and cases.
"Go," she said. "I'll catch."
Jake threw himself forward. His movements weren't as graceful as hers, but they had years of experience behind them. She wore the spacesuit, but he lived in it. He ran forward, hit the band of steel, and slipped. It wasn't a huge slip. She spotted the problem. His boot went too far, didn't have enough solid beneath it. Rather than truly launching himself, he'd just added to the momentum of his run. He sailed straight across the gap, his body tilting forward. Callie lunged forward onto her stomach. He wasn't going to make it. He was already too low and sinking. Jake slammed headfirst into the side of Anubis just below the railing. A sharp ping and a short scream echoed in the speakers. She threw her arms out, got them around his helmet, and heaved. She could feel other impacts through the suit as the things yanked him down. Jake thrashed, kicked, and his helmet slipped through the bulky arms of her suit.
"Stop fighting!
They've got my leg!"
She heaved up and got one hand in his armpit. She pulled again, and his hands grabbed at the top rail. She wrestled herself into a squat and shoved down with her thighs, dragging him up. Jake thrashed one more time. She leaned back, he came over the rail, and the two of them tumbled down onto the collection of bags and packs strapped on the roof of Anubis. Callie pushed Jake off her.
"You okay?"
"I'm alive."
He pushed himself up to his feet, then slid one boot forward.
"You mind getting that for me?"
Two of the three latches on his boot had been released. She could see the seal bulging as the air inside pushed to get out.
"They're quick."
"I've noticed."
She pressed one latch down, had him shift his weight, and snapped the other one closed.
"Anything else?"
"Nope."
"Then let's grab this thing and get back inside."
She turned to the bags stored on the roof and tried to remember what the one they'd taken from Arturo Mendez had looked like.
"Where'd you put it?"
"Not sure," he said. "Been trying to remember, but I've had a couple other things on my mind since then."
"The old-fashioned way, then."
Callie bent, unhooked one of the straps, and tossed it aside. The heavy hook drifted through space, dragging the band of nylon behind it. She pulled a bag over to check the one below it. Jake undid the strap closest to him.
"Standard Iran bag, black stripes."
"It's night on the moon," she said, flipping over another pack. "All the stripes are black."
"Wise ass."
Their floodlights made harsh shadows and bright reflections across the pile. Callie recognized her own bag and pushed it aside. Beneath it was one of the buggy's emergency packs. Next was Tessa's bag. She recognized the silver nameplate with its blocky font. Under that was...
"I think I've got it."
She hefted the floppy pack up, getting more light on it. The black stripes and Iran logo stretched along the side. The way it hung on her hand, the pack felt like it held one big thing, maybe wrapped in towels or clothes.
"Excellent," said Jake. "Let's get it inside."
They moved to the back of Anubis. Jake dropped onto the porch. Callie let the bag fall, then stepped off the roof and drifted down herself. The zombies around the porch reached for the two caretakers. Their fingers clawed at the vacuum.
Small crystals of ice glinted on their pale flesh. Callie guessed there were at least 40 of them around the raised platform. On the right, closest to the avenue in Luna City, their numbers stretched into the dark. Jake already had the small utility airlock open between the four ported spacesuits. He turned the bag around twice before it fit in the cabinet-sized space. He closed the door and cranked the handle. His attention shifted to the spacesuits. He reached up to run a gloved finger along the collar of the closest one.
"Okay," he said. "Let's dump some of these suits."
His microphone popped with the words, letting out a sharp click at the end. He pulled the first lever and one of the spare suits slumped forward onto the porch. Callie grabbed it by the shoulder and shoved it toward the edge of the platform. The zombie hands found it, dragged it off, pushed it down and out of their way. The second spacesuit fell from its bracket. She caught it, swung it around, and watched the horde wrestle it out of sight.
"You see that?"
"What?"
"They don't even try to open the suits, they just push them aside."
"There's nothing in them."
"Yeah. I'm just surprised they realize that. There's no hesitation, even though the suits are big and bulky and kind of rigid. They just know they're empty."
"Smart zombies, great."
"Maybe instinctive zombies?"
"Who knows?" He tapped his sleeve. "Izmi, you ready for a rescue?"
Callie counted out 5 heartbeats worth of silence.
"Izmi," repeated Jake. "You reading me?"
Another voice came on the line.
"Jake," said Gordon. He sounded tired. "I just got the alert."
A triple chime sounded in Jake's helmet and echoed in Callie's. Jake looked down at his tab.
"Fuck."
"What's wrong?" she asked. "What happened?"
Jake flopped back against the buggy's rear wall and held up his arm. A string of command codes swirled across the surface, overlapping with his deputy's badge.
"I just became the new head caretaker of Osiris."
Callie opened her mouth to respond, then looked over in the direction of the antenna tower. The 2 floodlights had vanished.
They must have dragged her down."
"Maybe."
Jake's fist pounded the wall at his side.
"Fuck this. Fuck all of this."
He slammed it into the wall again and glared out at the zombies.
"Fuck all of you."
Another faint crackle came over her speakers as he shouted. Their hands stretched up for him.
"We've got to go," Callie said. "We need to get this thing locked away before the next ship comes."
"Yeah," he said. "Let's get you in there."
He stepped aside and gestured back at the empty brackets. He kept staring out at the horde. Callie backed toward the bracket, paused.
"What?"
"What, what?"
"What are you looking at?"
she asked.
"Nothing. Get in the bracket."
From this angle, she couldn't see his face, but she could see the arc of his visor. Something small and red moved near the bottom edge. A thin line, like a streak of blood or a...
"Is there a warning light going off in your helmet?"
"Just get in the damn bracket, Callie."
She stepped forward, grabbed his arm, and turned him around. At first, she didn't notice. Then he shifted his shoulders. His helmet moved, and the hairline crack in the visor became a bold white line in the glare of the buggy's running lights. No, 2 lines. The small scar now stretched up to the top of his helmet and back down, an inverted V across his face.
"Oh, hell," she said.
"It's okay," he told her. "Just get in a bracket."
"How bad is it?"
"I'll be fine."
He tried to guide her backwards. She shook him off.
"Izmi's dead, and you've got warning lights going off in your suit, Jake. How bad is it?"
He sighed. His arm came up, and he opened their private channel.
"Bad."
"Then you go first. I'll figure it out alone. Might take me a couple tries, but I..."
His head went side to side in the helmet.
"What?"
she asked.
I can't go in the bracket. Too much damage.
You said they were built to take damage.
Yeah, he said. They're just amazing for one use.
What's that mean?
It's like every piece is safety equipment. Saves your ass once, and then you chuck it and get a new one. Smacked it hard coming down the dome, then again when I tried to headbutt Anubis a few minutes ago. He gestured at the bulk of the buggy. One accident too many.
She turned him to check his pack.
But you can still get in the bracket. Nothing's damaged there.
He sighed.
Know how your ears pop when you lock in? That's a pressure shift from the seal. Nothing much, just an increase of 14 or 15 kilopascals, but enough to blow out the visor. That's what the lights are saying. Don't try to port the suit.
But you can port it and then go straight in. You'd only be exposed for a couple of...
He shook his head.
Just like Daniel. No helmet, no seal. The lock won't open. I'd just be trapped here.
Okay, she said. Okay, so I'll go in. I can drive Anubis around, and as soon as we're there, you can just run in and...
I won't make it, he told her. Suit's estimating 10 minutes until visor integrity fails.
So we go to a closer airlock.
He waved his arm at the zombies around them.
And we get to it how?
We just...
It's okay, Jake said. It's good.
There's got to be something else, said Callie. Another way.
Not unless you've got a spare helmet stashed in your tool pouch.
Her face lit up.
We do.
She gestured at the two remaining suits on the porch.
Just like emergency training, turn up your mix, saturate your blood. You take that helmet off, I get one of these on you, and...
It's the wrong collar, he said. I checked as soon as we got down here. Ours are retrofitted so they'll work with the buggies, but the main suit components aren't interchangeable.
God damn it!
Just go inside, Callie.
She looked out at the horde of zombies. Scenarios ran through her mind. Plowing the buggy back and forth until this dock was clear, driving full speed to the next dock. The silly thought crossed her mind that if he could just hold his breath for a few minutes, they could make it. She knew she could hold her breath for 2 minutes, even though the pressure change would...
We've got a helmet, said Callie.
Where?
She reached up, tapped her own visor. He stared at her for a moment and then shook his head.
No, no way. I won't let you.
It'll work.
No way.
We can do this, she insisted. It takes 15 seconds for the suit to do an emergency restore. Say 10 seconds to get the helmet off me and onto you. 10 for you to get inside once pressure's restored. Another 10 to get the helmet back on me, and then I restore.
You're nuts.
I can last 45 seconds. We can reset the air pressure inside Anubis to deal with decompression sickness.
You're fucking nuts. Your eyeballs can freeze in 45 seconds. You'll lose both your eardrums.
You got a better idea?
A faint tinkling noise rang over their channel, and the crack on his visor split again, drawing a new line out over his cheek.
You go in and don't watch my head freeze solid.
She adjusted the controls of her suit.
Reset your mix. Heavy oxygen. Hyperventilate.
I'm not letting you do this.
I'm not letting you die, she countered. So you better start taking deep breaths or I'm taking this helmet off for nothing.
I'm your boss now, head of Osiris. I just quit. God damn it, Callie.
We're not going to die, she said. Either of us. We can do this.
He took a breath, nodded. Then he reached down and adjusted his suit controls. They spent a minute staring at each other, taking deep breaths. Jake maneuvered around her, lined himself up with the porting bracket. Until now, she'd never seen him do it and look nervous. The zombies stretched across the porch, fingertips scraped against the side of Callie's boot. Callie undid the two side latches of her helmet. A Christmas tree of warning lights flared to life inside her collar. She swallowed.
You ready?
Nope. You?
Not remotely. On three?
On three.
Put your hands on the helmet, she said. We don't want it bouncing away when I pop the last seal.
We get through this, you crazy bitch. I'm buying you dinner for a year. Dinner, desserts, drinks, breakfast.
She managed a nervous laugh.
That breakfast at your place?
Sure, he said. Sex is fine, too. You name it.
Let's start with dinner. A woman likes a little romance, even on the moon.
Fuck the moon. I'm on the next flight out of here. You want dinner, follow me back to Earth.
A faint chime snapped over the comm. One arm of the crack spread another few centimeters.
Breathe out hard on three, she said. Nothing left in your lungs.
He nodded.
One, she said, tensing her hands on the last latch. Two,
their words echoed on the comm.
Three.
Jake slammed himself back into the bracket. His visor exploded into a dozen pieces as she pulled the last latch and felt the air blast out of her suit.